I shall be reading Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm very happy to be back among all of you, to fellowship with you, and to be here to bring to you God's word as well. I also bring greetings from the faculty members of the Bible College of East Africa, from Reverend Dr. Mark Kim, and also from Reverend Eben Yoon. Reverend Yoon especially asked me to express his thanks to all of you for praying for him the time when his son got burned, the leg, but the son is well now. So he asked me to send his regards to all of you and to say thank you to all of you for praying for him. And the Bible College of East Africa, we are currently having a break, a month break after the term. So this is why I could come back to fellowship with all of you during Christmas. God willing, I'll be going back on the January the 5th. And do also continue to pray for Reverend Kim and Reverend Yoon as they are traveling. Reverend Kim just came back from Tanzania, and then now he's traveling to Kericho, which is another province in Kenya. And then he will be traveling to Rwanda next week as well. So do remember them in prayer. Now let us come to our text in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25, which we have read earlier on. And in this passage, we have recorded for us the account of the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. During Christmas season, it will be the time where we all remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole world remembers the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in this Christmas season. Of course, they remember the day, but they don't remember the event. But have you ever wondered, why is it people would mark out this day? Whether it is in Singapore or in Kenya, we also celebrate Christmas. Why is it that people mark out this day to remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? You think about it, there are many other great men in this world. As I was taking the aeroplane back from Kenya, I was thinking about the person who invented the aeroplane. He is a great man because without the aeroplane, we cannot fly to and fro. We cannot have the preaching of the gospel. It helps in the advancement of the gospel. It is useful for travel. And we think of the Wright brothers, who invented the aeroplane. But do any of you know their birthdays? How about this morning when you just wake up? I believe you all brush your teeth, isn't it? I hope you did. Okay, you all brush your teeth. Do you know who invented the toothbrush? And I believe none of you will even remember when he was born. So why is it that the world would remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? What makes the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ so special that the world remembers it? There are many other great men, people like George Washington, Napoleon, Alexander the Great, great soldiers, people who changed the course of history in the world, yet no one seemed to remember their birthday. But the Lord Jesus Christ, His birth is special. And what is so special about this birth that knowingly or unknowingly, the whole world remembers it? Well, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is special because it is not an ordinary birth. The Lord Jesus Christ was born 2,000 years ago from the womb of Mary, and His birth was a miraculous birth, the virgin birth. This doctrine of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is the heart of Christianity. It has great theological significance. Without it, many doctrines fall. If you deny the virgin birth of Christ, you deny many other essential doctrines, as we will look at it later on. But not only does the virgin birth of Christ have great theological significance, it also has great practical applications for Christians. Its value to the Christian, to the life of the Christian, to the faith of the believer, is most significant. This is why we want to take time this morning to consider this great truth of the virgin birth of Christ. Sadly, today, many people deny the doctrine of the virgin birth of Christ. Because this truth is so important, it is no wonder that the devil takes no effort and he spares no effort to attack this doctrine. You know, I was just looking through the internet and I was just trying to find some articles to see what are the thoughts of Christians regarding the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ today. And I found so many articles and writings of people who deny the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was this man named Niels F.S. Ferry. Okay, I don't know how to pronounce his name. I also do not really know who he is. All I know is that he says he is an American theologian. And he said this: Nazareth was hard by a Roman garrison, and he was talking and he was describing the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the circumstances surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was saying that Nazareth was located near a Roman garrison where the soldiers were German mercenaries. And then he goes on to say that the Lord Jesus Christ was often depicted in early art of the Christian as having blonde hair. And then he says that because Mediterranean people do not have blonde hair, therefore the Lord Jesus Christ must have been the child of a German soldier. He says, who can deny that such a conjecture could be true? You know, when I want to read all these things out of the pulpit, sometimes I find that it's blasphemy and I hate to let it come out of my tongue. But this is to let you know the kind of thought that Christians are having today. There is this man named Thomas Jefferson, who calls himself a Christian as well, not the president, Thomas Jefferson. He says that the virgin birth is a fable. Harry Emerson Fosdick, who is a liberal, but he's also a pastor of a church, he says this: of course, I do not believe in the virgin birth. I do not know any intelligent minister who does. Another man calls the virgin birth a theological fiction. Another one says that the virgin birth is just but a meaningful symbol, but not a historical truth. Then we have this man named Thomas Funk. He was the founder of the Jesus Seminar. Some of you may have heard of it, where they gathered together to question the accounts of the records of the Gospels, and then they voted on which accounts are true, which sayings belong to Christ, which sayings are just but myths. This man, Thomas Funk, he said this: the virgin birth of Jesus is an insult to modern intelligence. People today are denying the virgin birth of Christ. And by the way, all these men that I have quoted, they are all professing believers. They call themselves Christians. A poll was taken in the year 1998 of the general churches, the laymen in churches in America. And it was said that out of the number of people who were polled, 83% of the Christians in America believed in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in 1998. 10 years later, that would be 2008, it is now recorded that 61% believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also in the same poll, they also polled the leaders. So this is the general congregation, the members in the church. And then they polled the leaders of those who believe in the virgin birth of Christ. And this is the finding. They found that 81% of Lutheran pastors believe in the virgin birth of Christ. 66% of Baptist ministers believe in the virgin birth of Christ. 56% of Episcopalian priests believe in the virgin birth of Christ. 51% Presbyterian pastors believe in the virgin birth of Christ. 40% of Methodist pastors believe in the virgin birth of Christ. And 21% of congregational leaders believe the virgin birth of Christ. If we follow the trend of the world today and we see the trend of this polling, we will realize that people are starting to deny the virgin birth of Christ. The virgin birth of Christ is coming under great attack today. But why such an attack? Not only is this attack found in the teachings of men or in the teachings of people, this attack is also found in the modern versions of the Bible. We have many modern versions, and I believe in today's weekly, you also would see an example where they question the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, we have the example of the NIV, which says that the Lord Jesus Christ has a human father in the person of Joseph. And then we have modern versions which translate the word virgin for a young woman as if the Lord Jesus Christ was like any other human being who had a natural birth like all of us. We are seeing this great attack on this great truth of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ today. My friends, this is no small matter, because the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is foundational to our faith. What happens if you deny the virgin birth of Christ? I would like to consider some of the implications and the consequences in denying the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the passage which we have read earlier on, we have the account of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from here we see several truths which can be brought out to us and the implications in denying the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Billy Graham once said that he believes in the virgin birth of Christ, but he says that you can still be a Christian even if you do not believe in the virgin birth of Christ. That was what Billy Graham said. I sincerely believe that you cannot be a Christian if you deny the virgin birth of Christ. Now, I make a distinction between someone who denies the virgin birth of Christ and someone who is ignorant regarding the virgin birth of Christ. I grant that at times when we preach the gospel, we do not mention or we may not describe the event or the account of the virgin birth of Christ to a person, and so the person may be ignorant regarding the virgin birth of Christ. But when taught, the person would readily believe in the virgin birth of Christ. That is not a denial of the virgin birth. When I talk about the denial of the virgin birth, I'm talking about someone who knows, who understands, who reads in scripture what the scripture describes regarding the virgin birth, and he denies it. He rejects it and he does not believe in it. That is someone who denies the virgin birth of Christ. And these are some of the implications in denying the virgin birth of Christ. First of all, if you deny the virgin birth of Christ, you are denying the revelation of the Word of God. The Word of God, in the passage which we have read, reveals to us the virgin birth. And of course, we are told that this passage is a fulfillment of the prophecy which we have found in, which we find in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. If you would turn to your Bibles in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, you would see this. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This is the Old Testament prophecy regarding the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also have another prophecy regarding the virgin birth of Christ found in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, which we would commonly call the first gospel. This was where the Lord told Adam and Eve that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the seed of the serpent. This is the prophecy regarding the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. If you deny the virgin birth of Christ, you are essentially denying the whole revelation of God. You are saying that the prophecies of Scripture are not true. You are saying that God's word cannot be trusted. You are making God a liar. You are saying that God's word is not true. Thus, to deny the virgin birth of Christ is a most serious denial. If you deny the word of God, there is nothing else that you can hold on to anymore. All the prophecies of Scripture, how can you know them to be true if the virgin birth of Christ is denied? To deny the virgin birth of Christ, secondly, is also to deny the sinlessness of Christ. You notice in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says this, "And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." But if you deny the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are essentially denying the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that all men who are born of a woman are born in sin because they are represented by Adam. All men who are being represented by the head Adam have the sin nature in them, and this is what is commonly called original sin. All men who are born of the seed of a man has original sin. No one can escape this. This is one of the consequences of the fall of Adam when he sinned against God by eating of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And thus now sin has passed on to all men. This is what the book of Romans tells us. And if the Lord Jesus Christ was not born of a virgin, he must therefore be born in sin. He cannot be someone who is sinless. But if someone is born in sin, how then can he save us from our sin? To deny the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is a most serious denial, because you deny the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is often referred to as the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can the Lord Jesus Christ overcome the sin nature that is supposed to be passed down to all men? He can only overcome that through the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. To deny the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is also to deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is just born of a natural birth believe that he is just a normal man. And if he is just but a normal man, what different is he from all other leaders of religion? What is different is he from all other men? Because he is just a normal man. But to be born of a virgin speaks of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of the miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So to deny the virgin birth of Christ is a most serious denial of the deity of Christ. To deny the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is also to deny the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the scripture says that someone who can represent us must be firstly someone who is fully man and someone who is fully God. And because the Lord Jesus Christ is born of a virgin, he can represent us because he is fully man. At the same time, he can be a mediator between us and God because he is also fully God, perfect without sin. But if we have someone who is born of a natural birth, that means he is born in sin. And someone who is born in sin has no right to earn our justification or to earn our righteousness. He has no right to represent us before God because he is sinless. And thus, to deny the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is to deny the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Those who deny the virgin birth of Christ deny the Christ of the Bible. This is why I believe that someone who denies the virgin birth of Christ cannot be a Christian. And therefore, in response to this denial, I would like now to look at this text and to see the confidence that we can have in believing in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was reading an article that says, the title of this article is Five Reasons Why I Do Not Believe in the Virgin Birth of Christ. And I was just reading through this article where he gives five reasons why this author does not believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in one of his statements, he says this. He says that it is unlikely that any man can be born of a virgin. Actually, I beg to differ, because I do not think that it's unlikely that any man can be born of a virgin. In fact, I think that it is impossible that any man can be born of a virgin. It has never happened before, and it will never happen apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is a most supernatural birth, is a miraculous birth that only happened once in history. It is not unlikely, it is impossible, but the Lord Jesus Christ had an impossible birth. And this is why now this virgin birth of Christ is something that brings us great confidence. And the confidence that we can have in this birth is significant. In the passage which we have read, I'd like to draw your attention now to verse 21. Here it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And then in verse 22, we are told that now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Okay, and now we see this fulfillment of this prophecy. This fulfillment of the prophecy was a sign given by God through Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. A sign now describes and points to this Messiah, the Messiah who is to come. We know that many people today profess to be the Lord Jesus Christ, profess to be the Christ, profess to be the anointed one, profess to be the one who is sent by God. And many of them can imitate many of these truths or the sign or the prophecies describing the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ must come from a tribe of Judah. Now, a person may say that I come from the tribe of Judah. We know that the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ must be born in Bethlehem. We know anyone can be born in Bethlehem. There are many things regarding the Messiah that a person can imitate. But this one thing, no one can imitate. And that is the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the fulfillment of this prophecy brings us such great confidence. You know that the nature of a person's birth tells us a lot about who the person is. Where the person is born, when you fill up your immigration form to travel overseas, they will ask you regarding where you are, where do you come from. And from your birth, your citizenship, it speaks a lot about you. It describes the authority that you have. For example, if I'm born in Singapore, if I'm a Singaporean citizen, when I travel to Kenya, when I go to Rwanda, Tanzania, I do not need a visa, because this is the authority attached to my citizenship. And how do I know I'm a Singaporean citizen? Because I'm born in Singapore. I'm born and bred here. The birth describes who you are. Now, the birth of a person, he may be born just in Judah, he may be born in Bethlehem, but if he does not have the virgin birth, he cannot be the Messiah. This is why the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ brings us great confidence. It brings us confidence because we know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. We know he is not just any other man. We know he's not just a good teacher. Yes, he is a good teacher, but he's not just a good teacher. We know he's not just the founder of Christianity, just like other founders of other religions. We know he is the Messiah, the anointed one sent by God because of his virgin birth. This is a birth that is impossible, but a birth which was fulfilled through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 speaks of this birth as a sign. If there is no virgin birth, what sign will it be? If the birth was just of a normal woman, what sign will it be? But now, because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is born of a virgin, we know who He is. This is the confidence that the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ brings us. The second confidence that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ brings us is found also in verse 21, where the Bible says, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Do you realize that the whole life of the Lord Jesus Christ is a supernatural life? From His birth, to His death, to His resurrection, and finally to His ascension, and even to His return again. It is one whole supernatural, miraculous life to be resurrected, and to be resurrected of His own power is a miracle. To be ascended is also a miracle. The Lord Jesus Christ, His whole life is full of miracles. If you do not believe in the virgin birth of Christ, how can you believe in His resurrection? How can you believe in His ascension? How can you believe in His coming again for you? How can you believe in the work on the cross? How can you believe all of His things? But now, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is a miracle. And therefore, when we consider His whole life, which is a whole supernatural life, including His redemption, including His resurrection, including His ascension, we see what He has done for us. And this is why we can call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ, His miraculous birth points to His miraculous life. And His miraculous birth gives us confidence in His miraculous work on the cross. Matthew says here, "For He shall save His people from their sins." The virgin birth of Christ gives us confidence in the presence of God with us. "You shall call His name Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sins." And you read down onwards in verse 23, it says here, "Thou shalt call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. This is the confidence that Christians have today, that God is with us. Yes, this brings confidence, but in many ways this also brings fear. Because before the Lord Jesus Christ can save a person from his sin, the Lord Jesus Christ also brings conviction from sin. Christ will save His people from their sins, but Christ also came to bring conviction of sin. He came to expose the world of their sins. He came to reveal the wickedness of the world. He came to show the world how they need a Savior. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at the world today, the other day I was just talking to a pastor, and he's saying that he is very fearful and worried for the Bible Presbyterian Church. Because he says that in many of the Bible Presbyterian churches today, we have doctrines. Or the few churches that have doctrines, have doctrines. Many churches today do not have doctrines already. There are many churches who are adopting charismatic practices, who are no longer practicing biblical separation, do not practice total abstinence. There are pastors who are homosexuals, pastors who commit adultery and are still in the leadership. Yeah, there are many pastors and churches who are BP who no longer have doctrines today. But there are still some, the remnant, who still have doctrines. But the worrying thing still is this, that those churches that still have doctrines today do not have life. Why is it that these churches do not have life? If you just observe the state of Christianity around us, you just look into our churches, do you see life? Sometimes we consider the youth. You know, when I was in Kenya, I find that Facebook is of great advantage because it keeps me up to date with the things that are happening around in Singapore. I can post photos, people can post photos, and we can know what is happening with each other. But when you go to Facebook and you log on and you see the kind of words, the comments that youth are making, you see the kind of photos that youth are posting, you see the kind of dressing, you see the kind of people they mix around with, you realize that the church indeed is dying. We must realize that this generation now will soon pass away. And if the Lord tarries, there will be generations that will come. But we need to think, will the future generation still have the same kind of life, still have the same kind of zeal, still have the same kind of doctrines that we have today? Many of us today have doctrines, but we do not have life. The kind of music, the kind of entertainment, the kind of company, the kind of activities that youth are engaged in today, the kind of fashion, the kind of dressing, the kind of lifestyle, the kind of view that they have today. I recently just had a friend whom I grew up with in church, and she just recently got married just a few weeks back. She came from the same BP church as I, but now she's no longer in the BP church but in another charismatic church. And recently she just got married, and I know that just before she got married, she had been traveling around with her boyfriend, going on holidays together alone. And I also know that they share the same room alone. She is of my generation. Think about what will happen to the people after our generation. This is why today we need to have a conviction of sin. God with us, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes to bring conviction of sin. Not only to the youth, but to the adults. There are a lot of temptation and a lot of snare in this world that we face. People going on business trips, the people you meet all the time, and even just in your office, there are a lot of temptations. The temptations to be angry, the temptations to bring hatred. The world today is a corrupted world. And we have no confidence in ourselves. We can have no confidence in anything at all, except in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the virgin birth of Christ, God with us, brings us such great confidence. It brings to us first a conviction of sin. It helps us to see how wicked we are. It helps us to see how hopeless we are in ourselves. It helps us to see how sinful we are. It exposes all our shame. Sometimes we try to hide from people, but when we know that God is with us, our shame, our wickedness are all exposed before Him, and we cannot hide before Him. And my friends, this is the confidence that we have. One of the greatest fear that a person can have is when he deceives himself. It's often been said that, you know, every morning when I wake up, I see my greatest enemy, and that is when I look into the mirror. The greatest fear that we can have is when we start deceiving ourselves, when we lose the conviction of sin, when we stop seeing sin for what it is. And that's why the presence of God in Him convicting our sin brings us such great conviction and confidence. It helps us to realize how we need a Savior. The confidence in the conviction of sin, God with us. The confidence also in the salvation from sin, God with us. The Lord Jesus Christ not only convicts us of our sin, He saves us from our sin. I believe there may be some here who are sitting among us who may have come under the conviction of sin. You may have read the scriptures, and the Lord has placed upon your heart a burden. You are troubled because you see how wicked you are. You are troubled because you see that you cannot help yourself in any way. And that is what the virgin birth of Christ is. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do, what He has come to do. He came to save us from our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ, in His virgin birth, speaks of His incarnation, speaks of His humiliation, how He humbled Himself. And that is what Philippians chapter 2 tells us. He humbled Himself because He wants to give His life for us. In Christmas, we often talk about giving, and there's a lot of exchanging of gifts. And I believe next week many of you will bring your gifts to give to people. But I just want to ask you, how many of you would give of yourself to someone? You have a gift, and as parents, you have children, Would you give your son and daughter as a gift to someone else? I believe none of you would do that, isn't it? Because you cannot bear it, because you love your child. You want to protect your child. He or she is precious to you. Yes, you will exchange gifts, but no matter how expensive a gift you give, it may be hundreds of dollars, you will never give off your own child. You will never give off your life to someone else. But that was what the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us. God gave His only begotten Son to us, the most precious gift of all, and this is in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to save us from our sins. This is the confidence that we have. We who see no hope in the world, we who can see no help in ourselves, we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who will save us from our sins. And not only does the virgin birth of Christ bring us confidence in the salvation from sin, the virgin birth of Christ also brings us confidence in the presence of God with us always in this virgin birth. Christians can always speak of a God who is near. Christians do not have a God who is far away from us. We have a God who has condescended to us. We have a God who is with us. The Old Testament saints have always regarded the presence of God as the most precious thing. When we think of Moses, when the people sinned against God, God said that He will no longer go with them. But Moses cried out, "If your presence will not go with me, I do not want to go one step further." The confidence that the people have, the children of Israel always have, is in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And that speaks of the presence of God with them. When you read through the minor prophets, it's the same thing. The judgment of God is always the removal of the presence of God, the removal of the glory of God. And the Lord always says that in repentance, I will be among you again. I will be your God and you will be my people. That is the confidence that the people have in their God, the presence of God. The Bible speaks and uses many names to describe God. We have the Bible, in the Bible we have the name Jehovah, which is the name of God. It describes God. It describes God as the self-existent one. It describes God as the one who exists of Himself, the eternal God, the I Am, the great I Am. We have the name that describes God. We have the name Elohim, which describes the power of God. And I'm sure you all can think of many names and many attributes that you can put to God. Right, we have David who often say that God is my light. We also can think of how God is our salvation. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my song. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my rock. We think of many of these precious names of God, of what God is to us. But more precious still is the fact that God is with us. No, what if God is a shepherd, but He is not my shepherd? He is a shepherd, but He's far away. What if God is a rock, but He is not my rock? What if God is a fortress, but He's not my fortress? What if God is a song, but He's not my song? But now when God is with us, this is why we can say the Lord is my shepherd. This is why we can say the Lord is my salvation. He is my shield. God with us. This is the comfort and the confidence that the virgin birth of Christ brings. The presence of God with us. Sometimes we need to take time to think about it. Of who is the one that is with us. If we have a special occasion, sometimes we would like to invite very important people to attend this special occasion. And we would like to say, "No, we are very honored to have so-and-so to grace us with His presence today." But sometimes you think about it, what is so special about this person? So if I were to say that Lee Kuan Yew is now here, Mr. Lee Kuan Yew is now in our presence, would you all feel very honored? He's gracing us with His presence. No, he's here attending our worship, he's singing the same hymns as us, and then he's going to shake your hand later on. Would you feel honored? Some of you would, some of you may not. But sometimes we think that, you know, if a very important person is there, we feel very special. We feel that he has this aura around him. You know, we want to shake his hand. The other day I was just reading the news and of some footballers who visited Japan, and then they interviewed this Japanese girl who, after shaking this very famous footballer's hand, she says, "I will not want to wash my hands for several days because I touch his hand." You know, we feel very honored when somebody very important graces us with his presence. But how about God? God with us. Think about who our God is. The creator of the heavens and the earth. The heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. He is the one who gives us our life. The Bible says that we are just but dust. No, when you think about dust, you don't even care about dust. You step on dust all the time. You sweep the dust off your table, and that is what we are. And yet when God sees us, he sees the whole world. He sees the whole world as just but grasshoppers. He spreads out the sky like a curtain. He contains the whole world in the span of his hand, in his palm. That is how great our God is. He is from eternity past into eternity future. There is no limit to our God. He is the great almighty God. And he says he is with us. Are we worthy to have him present with us? What have we done that he should honor us with his presence? What have we done that he should be part of our life? In Christmas, sometimes it's a very sentimental season. The world has made it very sentimental. And in Christmas time, I know sometimes many of you would like many people to be with you. This is also why I came back from Kenya, isn't it? To celebrate Christmas with my family. Because probably my family wants me to be with them, I also want to be with them. And sometimes people who are courting girlfriend and boyfriend, they also like to go out together because they want to be with each other. It becomes a very sentimental season. You want to be with someone you love, someone close to you. But none more precious than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is with us. So we come and we think about Christmas. Think about the confidence and the great truth of God with us. This cannot be if not for the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ brings us this confidence in the knowledge of God himself being present with us. Apostle Paul said this in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, that this is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. This is the mystery of godliness. It is a miracle. And it's a mystery in many sense. It's a mystery because we don't deserve it. We have done nothing to deserve the presence of God. It is a mystery. Why God should condescend himself to be in the midst of us? Why God should give off his own son to give off his life to die for us, to save us from our sin? Are we worth saving? The Lord Jesus Christ did not die for the angels. And sometimes we think that the angels are 100 times better than us. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ did not die for them. The Lord Jesus Christ died for us. It's a mystery. The mystery of godliness. God manifested in the flesh. This is why I believe that someone who denies the virgin birth is a most foolish person. He denies his own confidence. He denies his own security. He denies the truth of the Word of God. As we celebrate Christmas next week, think upon the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think upon the confidence that we can have in him. Think upon how the Word of God stands true because of the virgin birth of Christ. Think about how the virgin birth of Christ brings us under the conviction of sin, because he is Jesus, the Savior, and he brings conviction of sin. We need to turn to him and to look to him. Think also upon how the virgin birth of Christ brings us salvation from sin, and think upon how the virgin birth of Christ gives us the confidence of the glorious God being with us. This is the comfort that we have in the virgin birth of Christ. Let us pray. Our mighty, gracious, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this Christmas season, where we can remember the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, let this truth not be just a truth that we read in the Scripture. Let it not just be a truth that we know or that we understand, but let it be a truth that sinks into our hearts, into our minds and our soul. Help us to see what a wonderful truth the virgin birth of Christ is, how our Savior came to bring us salvation. We were blind, we were lost and undone, we were awaiting eternal condemnation, but the Lord Jesus Christ came and He brought us out of darkness into thy glorious and marvelous light. O Lord, what a blessing and a joy to know that Thou art always with us. And this is wonderfully manifested in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we feel alone, we feel afraid, we feel weighed down by the cares of this world, we feel surrounded by the temptations, we feel guilty because of our sins. But just in the thought, in thinking upon how God is with us, all these fears runs away. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this wonderful truth. May You help us to abide in this truth. Bless our worship this day. Continue to bless this blessed day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.